Genesis chapter 39. The topic given to me is prison, Pharaoh, and providence. Prison, Pharaoh, and providence. So I have outlined this message in this way. Genesis chapter 39 as onward to prison. Genesis chapter 40 verses 1 to 4 as offenses against Pharaoh. And then Genesis chapter 40 verse 5 down to the end, ongoing divine providence in prison. So let's start off with onward going to prison in chapter 39. Now in chapter 39, we read verse 1. And verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. Now, if you look back a few pages to chapter 37, verse 36, you find the connection. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Now, I'm wondering why chapter 39 doesn't follow straight away from chapter 37. Chapter 38 is inserted between 37 and 39. And Mr. Ong dealt this chapter with you. I'm wondering why this chapter 38, and last week you heard about how dark that chapter was inserted into this passage between 39 and 40. As I examined it further, then I thought perhaps it would just to put chapter 39 into better light. You see, when a white spot is placed on a dark background, the darker the spot, the darker the background, the whiter the spot. And therefore, when we see the virtues of Joseph in chapter 39 as against the vices of Judah in chapter 38, then we see the very brightness of his holy life, of his spiritual life, so that in contrast we will be able to know the very beauty of the life of Joseph. So I must read chapter 38 to draw out certain points to see that dark side of Judah, and then after that to contrast it with Joseph in chapter 39. So let's read 38 and see why that side was so dark. Chapter 38 verse 1, we read, it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren. Verse 2, and Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua, and he took her and went in unto her. Right. This was the cause of the darkness. Judah took a wife from the Canaanite. Now let's see what happened. Chapter 24. His great-grandfather, Judah's great-grandfather, Abraham, when he wanted to get a wife for his son, Isaac, in verse 2, Abraham said unto his elder servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. You must not take a wife for my son among the Canaanites. Whatever be the situation, whatever be the condition, if you cannot find a wife from our tribe, then come back. Let him be single. That's what it says there in verse 5. And so we find that Abraham warned that his son Isaac must not marry a Canaanite. Let's look again further at chapter 28. Isaac now has become a father. And chapter 28, verse 1. It was also his turn now to take a wife for his son Jacob. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. So you see, from grandfather to father, the one great grandfather to grandfather, the warning was given. And Judah was given that he must not take a son, or a daughter, sorry, a wife from the Canaanites. Now Judah was the son of Jacob, one of the 12 sons. And what do we read? He took a wife from the Canaanites. And we do not have a record that Jacob warned Judah that he must not take a wife from the Canaanites. And so we find this dark spot. And as a result of taking a wife from the Canaanites, we find that firstly, his first son was wicked. In verse 3, God slew him. And then when God slew him, he told his second son, marry the first wife. Marry the first son's wife. You see, it was the custom at that time that if the husband of a wife died, then the brother would marry the wife of the deceased so that the seed would continue. And so the second son was Onan in verse 4. And he was asked, go marry Tamar, the wife of Ur, in verse 3. But Onan, when he went into the room with Tamar, what did he do? We read in verse 9. Onan knew that the seed should not be his, and it came to pass when he went in unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the Lord was angry, the Lord slew him. And so we find that there was all this dark spot. And he told Judah told Tamar, don't worry, wait until my third son is old enough and you can marry him. But Judah never kept the promise. And you know what happened? That later on, Judah went to a sheep dressers festival. And of course, this festival, these people did not only come to buy sheep and so on, but there was an opportunity for sexual indulgence. And so Judah went. He had in mind to be indulged in sex. And Tamar heard about it. Tamar also went. And Tamar disguised herself as a prostitute. And we know the story very well, that Judah was deceived by Tamar, and he went in unto her, and the result was she became pregnant. And when he knew about it, he accused her of adultery. Then she said, you are the one who made me pregnant. And we read the final conclusion of Judah in verse 26, she had been more righteous than I. And so we see this dark picture painted before the picture of Joseph inserted to show how dark the scenery was, to show how dark the background was, so that if Joseph could do something good and right, then he must have stood out from the dark and black background. And now we come to our study, chapter 39. So onward to prison, or rather, the first subheading should be the road to virtual prosperity through prison. Why do I name it that way? Verses 1 to 6. The road to virtual prosperity through prison. The Lord wanted to prosper Joseph. But he must go through the hard way. He must go through prison. He must be first a prisoner before he could be prosperous. And so we read verses 1 to 6, him, how the background of how later on he went into prison. Now verses 1 to 6 are more or less parallel to verses 20 to 23 of the same chapter. Verses 1 to 6 would be the commencement of the chapter. Verses 20 to 23, the conclusion of the chapter. There is a parallelism between the commencement and the conclusion. In between, what we read is God was in control. And this is what I want to emphasize in our study. That throughout, God was in control. From commencement to completion. Let's see. Let's compare. Verse 1. We read in chapter 39 and verse 1. Last part. The Ishmaelites had brought him down there. Compare that with verse 19. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And verse 20, and Joseph's master took him, put him into prison. Verses 1 to 6, Joseph was put in Potiphar's house. Verse 20 onwards, Joseph was put into prison. Carry on. Verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. The Lord was with him, and the Lord prospered him. Look at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph was in prison, but the Lord was with him. The Lord prospered him. Joseph was in Potiphar's house, but the Lord prospered him. Indicating very clearly that Joseph was in Potiphar's house and Joseph was in prison, not by accident. That the Lord had meant from the very beginning for him to be in these two places, because that was the road to virtual prosperity that God was aiming for, where he would save the people of Israel and even the Egyptians. Let's go on. Verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put in his head. And so we find Potiphar was very impressed by Joseph's life. He made him an overseer over the whole house. Now contrast that with verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatever they did there, he was a doer. Although Joseph was in prison, yet the warden of the prison committed to Joseph all the other prisoners and put them under his charge. Now, this is no accident. God was preparing. God was setting the ground so that the time would come when God would make use of the opportunities to really let him travel that road to virtual prosperity. Look at verse 5. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house and Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in his field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not anything he had save the food which he did eat. And Joseph, alright, we stop there for a moment. And so we find that Potiphar has so much confidence that he committed to Joseph everything except his food. You see, the custom was at that time that the Egyptians would never eat food with a Hebrew. And Joseph was a Hebrew. And so they would not sit at the table. And so Joseph was in charge of everything in the house. He had so much confidence because Joseph was portraying the life of a righteous person. Now look at verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. Even when he was in prison, the warden committed to him everything in his charge, and the warden would not even interfere with anything else, because he knew that whatever Joseph was in charge of, it would be alright. And so, the lesson for us to learn, wherever we are, Let us realize this. Nothing comes into our lives by accident. And if God has placed us in a certain situation, it is with the intention that He is preparing us for perhaps something else. And although that situation at that moment may not be that good and may not be that well, to our liking, remember this. If it is His will for us to go through, then we need to go through, because that will be the next step to other steps that He has in mind for us. And so we find this road to virtual prosperity. He must go. Otherwise, he could not reach that stage of prosperity that the Lord wanted him to do. Now, what is that stage of prosperity? Perhaps if you look at 41, we would know. I will not touch on it, because this is next week's lesson. Chapter 41, and we read in verse 40, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Verse 42, "Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him. Bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt." That was the prosperity that God had in mind for Joseph. Because in that position, then he will be able to save his people Israel as well as the nation of Egypt. Alright, so that would be the road to prosperity. Now let's deal with the second road. The second road would be the road to vice. That was trodden by Potiphar's wife. So soon after the confidence that Potiphar had over Joseph, we see the devil coming in. We see the temptation to vice. And all because, perhaps, I'm not sure whether this was an advantage to Joseph or not, but we read in chapter 39 and verse 6, Joseph was a handsome person and well-favored. Joseph was a handsome person and well-favored. Muscular, handsome. Which lady would not like to have such a person? Now, by the way, just because this verse follows so closely with one another, don't think that just after Joseph had come into Potiphar's household that all these things took place. No. A period of nearly 10 years would have passed in the verses that we are studying today. For example, when was Joseph sent, or when was Joseph sold by his brothers to the Midianites? Let's look at the 37. The cause of all that was when the father gave Joseph a coat of many colors. And we read in verse 2, "And Joseph was 17 years old." At that time, Joseph was 17 years old, and soon after the incident of Joseph's brothers betraying Joseph took place. And then after that, Joseph was sold to Potiphar. Alright? Now that would be somewhere 17, 18, 19 years old, I'm not very sure. But it was very near to the late teens. Now let's go on to chapter 41. Chapter 41. And verse 46. After Joseph had gone into prosperity, we read verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So after prison, Joseph was stood before Pharaoh, and he went into Potiphar's household at about 17. And he stood before the Pharaoh 30 years old. So 13 years would have elapsed. So apparently, this incident of Potiphar's wife tempting Joseph would have taken place after Joseph could have been in Potiphar's household for nearly 10 years or over. And therefore, Joseph was doing his duty. And Joseph was doing his duty, the Potiphar was so happy with him, he even was allowed to go into Potiphar's wife's room. But unknown to him, because he was so very strong, muscular, Potiphar's wife was watching him. And we read in chapter 39 and verse 7, his master's wife cast eyes upon Joseph. Lie with me. And so there was a temptation. Lie with me. Alright? Now let's see when this temptation came along and how easy it would be to fall into temptation. This road to vice happened when it was least unexpected, two, when it was repeated. Let me explain. When it was least unexpected, for nearly 10 years, Joseph had been in Potiphar's house. Nothing had happened. But of course, unknown to him, there was this wife of Potiphar eyeing his every movement and admiring him and hoping one day that he would be enticed by her. And so we find that this happened at a time when Joseph would be about 28, 29, I'm not sure, but let's say about that age. That would mean that he was at the prime of his life. Prime of his life, big, muscular, strong. But not only that, he was at the peak of his career because Potiphar had made him overseer over his whole household. So he was at the prime of his life, he was at the peak of his career, and he was dealing with the passion of a woman. There was this woman having this passion for him. And this is the danger that I think the young professionals in our assembly are facing. I just read somewhere in the article just a few days ago that young professionals have often been asked to go for conference, to go for meetings, perhaps in the night, to discuss issues, to discuss decisions, and so on. But very often, it would be perhaps to a drinking party, perhaps to a party where there would be girls and aplenty. And there would be drinking, there would be drugs, and there would be a lot of temptation for the Christian professional I'm talking about, to be indulged in all these things. And if you do not go in for these things, you don't get your promotion. And so we find Joseph, he was at the very prime of his career. He was at the very peak of his life. He could enjoy all this. And this is the temptation that young professionals face today. And I would like to give a warning that you need to treasure your spiritual life more than the promotion that is ahead. Because if you do not do so, then you are going to fall prey to such temptations. But let us go on further. This temptation did not only come once. It was repeated. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her. So, it would seem that there was that first enticement. Joseph, lie with me. And Joseph was already aware. And Joseph, from that time onwards, steered clear. But of course, he still had to go into her room to do the duty, to clean up the place and so on. And so he had to go in. And he went in. But he had to be very careful. Then one day, this is what happened. There was availability. Joseph, lie with me. She was available. What a grand opportunity. And it says there, verse 11, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. There was not only availability, there was also opportunity. No one was around. Why not take the advantage? And isn't this the very occasion when many young men fall? And so, he was offered this. There was availability, there was opportunity, and there was eligibility. What is meant by that, eligibility? Perhaps if Joseph would concede to this temptation, then for all you know, Potiphar's wife would speak very well and highly on behalf of Joseph. And Joseph would get his promotion. It's very good. Very good opportunity. So, these are kind of temptations young professionals today can fall into. And they need to be very careful. Are they thinking of promotion at whatever cost? Or are they thinking of their spiritual life? Now, apart from the young professionals, I want to talk of this temptation in the context of young adults, young people. Now, young people today, you may not be in the position where you are tempted to go into vice like this, where it's so open. In your own house now, this temptation stands out very clearly. And where does it come from? It comes from the computer screen. It comes from the computer screen. You don't have to see a real woman to tempt you into sin. You can see a virtual woman in cyberspace. And that woman can tempt you and can lead you. Young people, if you're not careful, if you do not have that spiritual stand for the Lord, you're going to fall easily. And so we need to be careful about this. Young people, young professionals, the temptation is there all around us. And if you're not careful, we'll fall very easily and we'll go away. Alright, so that is the road to vice. But we shall not consider the road to victory. How did Joseph overcome all this? How did Joseph overcome all this? Number one, look at his steadfastness and responsibility. What did he say when he was tempted? Verse 8. Alright. Behold, my master knoweth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he had into my hand. There is none greater than this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this? I have great tremendous responsibility. Your husband, my master, trusted me fully. How can I play behind his back? How can I step at him at his back? I cannot do this. I cannot do this. His steadfastness and his responsibility. But go on. Look at his standard of purity. He says there, this is plain wickedness. This is plain wickedness. It's evil. This is not just following what other people are doing. This is evil, downright evil. It's wickedness. No, I cannot do such a thing. Next, look at his stand against iniquity. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And that is the point. That is the key. Sin against God. You see, the point is this. All the time we have read, in this chapter especially, four times this expression, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And although there was no one around him, yet the Lord was with Joseph. In other words, it means that the Lord above is looking down. And although there was no one looking at him, and he could easily be tempted and succumb to this temptation, yet the Lord was above. The Lord could see. So, young people, young men, young ladies, remember this. The Lord's presence is with you. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. You cannot do those things because God is looking. Although there's no one around you, yet this is a reality. God sees. That's the standard of his purity and his stand against iniquity. Now look at verse 12. Verse 12 is very interesting. So what was his reaction? And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. Now fled and got out, the expression there is not very clear. What it means literally is, when he was tempted and he was caught, he quickly got out, and of course his garment was seized by Potiphar's wife, and it says that he got out forth into the streets. That's what it means literally. He was so afraid, so frightened, he just left everything. He ran out of the house into the street. That's what he did. Joseph, you are a coward. You are a great coward. You dare not be a man. Dare not behave like a man. Joseph behaved like a man. And he fled. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we are told, flee youthful lust. And that's what young men and young professionals, young ladies, you must do it. Flee. You cannot hope to fight youthful lust. You have got to flee. Lust, as we read in 1 John 2, 15-17, for that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All that is in the world. But the word of God abides forever. And this is what we need today, young men, young women. Spend more time with the word of God. Spend more time studying the word of God. And not so much on those other things that will take you away from God. And so we find this victory. Now, there's a saying which many people know. There can be no greater loss than a woman spurned. There can be no greater loss than a woman spurned. And so we find the woman now on the road to vengeance. A vengeance. And so she took advantage of it. There was the opportunity to take revenge. And we find in verse 14, she screamed out to the servants, "Look at this man, he has molested me. And this is the proof, the garment, his garment in my hands." So that was one. Secondly, when the husband came back, of course, she reported that to the husband. And what did she say? He said, "You know, that Hebrew you brought into the palace, that Hebrew you brought to your house, that Hebrew, see what he did to me? He was trying to molest me, and look, this is the proof." Now look at the spite. Well, the thing is, she used the word Hebrew in verse 14, and she used the word Hebrew again in 17. Hebrew, to the Egyptians, was a very degrading term. And therefore, she was fighting. She said, "You have brought a servant who is useless into this household. That he even takes advantage of me." But let's see what she has to say when she faced up with her husband. Yes, verse 17. She spoke unto him according to this word, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom thou hast brought unto us." The Hebrew servant whom thou hast brought unto us. It reminds me of an incident when God asked Adam and Eve another question similar to this. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis, after the sin of Adam and Eve, God sent for Adam. And God asked Adam, "Adam, where are you?" And then later on, when Adam was found, and what did Adam say? Verse 12. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree." First it started with Adam. "The woman you gave me." Now Potiphar's wife. "The Hebrew you brought into the house." And how often, when sin comes into our lives, we are not prepared to own up. We are always ready to point a finger at somebody else. You are responsible. I am what I am today in this downfallen condition is because of you. You have provided this opportunity for me, and this is what happened. Let us not blame anybody. Let us not blame God. Let us not blame other people. Let us blame ourselves. Be brave enough that if we have that integrity and probity as Joseph had, we would have overcome. So we have the road not only to prosperity, virtual prosperity, the road to vice, the road to victory, the road to vengeance. And now Joseph, having overcome all this, what would be his reward? The rewards of virtue. What? You would think that God would have blessed him for being such a great man, overcoming all temptations. But no. The reward of virtue, one, more adversity. He was put in prison, we read in verse 20. He was put in prison. Two, more prosperity. But when he was in prison, it says that, verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 23, the Lord was with him. That which he did, the Lord made it prosper. Yes, that's the reward of virtue. You may be suffering, you may be in prison, But the Lord is still with you where you are, because that is a step towards the stage of prosperity that He is directing you to. So you must bear with God. Yes, more adversity, more prosperity, and more contrariety. Look at chapter 40, when he had interpreted the dream of the chief partner, and he said to the chief partner, "When you are free, please remember me." Verse 14, chapter 40. "Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee." But we read in verse 23, "Yet did not the chief partner remember Joseph, but forgot him." Sad, isn't it? Here was someone having done a good deed to you, but you just forget him after you have prospered. Okay, and just 2 minutes, I finish with chapter 40. Chapter 40 is a very familiar chapter, so I did not have to go in. But what I want to draw attention to is this. Chapter 40, verses 1 to 4. You have the offenses against Pharaoh. And we read in verse 1 that the chief butler and the chief baker were put into prison. Why? We are not told why. They offended him, and so they were put into prison. But it was a very, very special prison. Please note, it says there, verse 3, "He put them in prison in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound." Coincidence? Chance? Why did Joseph Pharaoh put these two men, an official, chief butler, very high man, chief baker, very high man, it would be on the same status as Nehemiah, the cupbearer. They had offended him, and they were put in prison in Potiphar's compound. There was a prison, remember, Potiphar was the captain of the king's guard, and Joseph was put into prison there, and now these two were put into prison there. By chance? A coincidence? No, I believe it to be the overruling power of God. Alright? Then, another coincidence, or was it a coincidence? The two of them had a dream, and we read in verse 5, "And they dreamed a dream, both of them." Now, was it a coincidence that both of them had dreams, and both the dreams were given to them the same night, and both the dreams were almost the same structure? Coincidence? No, God was working. And we know the story that in the case of the chief butler, his dream was that he had some grapes, and he pressed the grapes into Pharaoh's cup, and then Pharaoh was happy with him. That was to indicate that in 3 days, because he saw 3 branches of the grapevine, in 3 days he would be restored back to his own position. And so we find Pharaoh, chief butler, later on restored. The chief baker was very happy about the interpretation, and he thought that he would also have the same interpretation. But to him, it was different. There were 3 trays on his head, and the 3 trays were full of cakes, and the top tray full of cakes, that the birds came along and ate up all the cakes. And Joseph said, "In 3 days, your head also will be lifted. But lifted, not for promotion, lifted because it will be either beheaded or hanged." And so, there. The end of the story. Now, lesson for us. The last verse in that chapter disappoints me very much. Why? Because there was Joseph asking a favor from the chief butler who had come out of prison to remember him. He forgot. Today, let us remember this. Men may forget us. God will never forget us. But very often, we will only go to God and ask God to, I should put it this way. Very often, we forget God in good times. When we are prosperous, as the chief butler, we forget God. Then in bad times, we ask God, "Don't forget us. Please remember us." Let us remember this. Whether good times or bad times, God will always remember us. For all things work together for good to them that love God. Coincidence? No. I believe it all to the overruling power of God, that every situation you are in, like this morning, I thought that I would not be able to deliver this message because yesterday I was really bad. But today, my nose doesn't run. If my nose had run, I would have difficulty in presenting the message. The Lord sustained me. Whatever it is good that we continue to trust God at all times. May we pray. Allah, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the roads traveled by Joseph, just as Thou hast planned every step of his way to lead him to prosperity, not to his own individual personal prosperity, Lord, but to, that he might be in a position to help others. So we thank you, Lord, for the controlling circumstances that Thou hast allowed him, that allowed them to come into his life. Help us, Lord, also to know this, that nothing comes into our lives by coincidence, but Lord, Thou controllest every circumstance that comes into our life. Help us to trust Thee. Help us to be able to take step with what Thou hast planned for us, step by step, each step of the way, until we reach the goal for which Thou hast set for us. So bless, Lord, bless us, Lord, we do pray, even as we separate, as we go our different places. We thank you, Lord, for this time spent together in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.